Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
He spit in the guy's mouth. I promise you, if you ever see me spit in somebody's mouth, you will know it's the Lord, because I will not do that by faith. I mean, he spit and made mud, rubbed it in a blind man's eyes. Go wash it out. Well, how am I supposed to find this place, Jesus? Figure it out. He did things differently. He still does. One time, John Wimber was taking Randy Clark around. They were in a service, and John had been started, God had started using him in the miraculous. And in one service, God healed every single person they prayed for. I mean, they had amazing miracles the whole night. They come back the next night, had the same kind of meeting, prayed the same kind of prayers, and not a single person was healed the second night. And John said, he told Randy, he said, I am so glad that happened for your sake. He said, because if God starts doing everything that you ask him to do, you're going to put God in a box, and that you just can't do that. He is God. He's a sovereign God. I'm telling you, I've been singing an old song all week. So, some of you will know it, some of you don't. And I'm not going to try to sing it. And somebody said, praise the Lord. But it's an old song. It says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit till all can see. Christ only always living in me. That's a humble prayer. Saying, God, you're in charge. And I've literally had people tell me, say, I just can't let God be in charge of my life. We don't even realize how crazy that is. This life is nothing but a test. That is all it is. You can make $5 trillion in this lifetime, and probably no one ever will. But you could, if it was possible to make $5 trillion, and you did not live, if you were not rich toward Jesus, it would profit you nothing. You'd gain nothing out of it. You could be the best husband. These people think, well, I'm a good person. You can be the best husband in town, but if you're not rich toward Jesus, it will profit you nothing. There's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. That's it. And the only thing that's ever going to matter. And I have nothing against the Super Bowl. I got nothing against hunting, nothing against fishing. I got nothing against Amazon, nothing against Walmart, Kohl's, wherever you, I mean, I don't know what you like. Maybe you're a golfer. Nowadays, a lot of people play video games. I don't understand it, but people are entertained by it. People don't know how I can be entertained by sitting in a boat for 12 hours in a day. I had a guy one time, he's son of one of the guys here at the church. He said, he's just after me, taking fishing. And so I took him fishing. I picked him up before daylight. We were coming back down the river, and it was so dark you couldn't see coming down the river. And he looked at me and he said, I have never fished this long in my entire life. He has never called me again wanting to go fishing. And that was not my intention. That's just how I fish. And people don't get that. They're like, that's stupid. Well, I can see where you'd say that, but if you're playing video games, I'm the one saying that's stupid. But you're entertained by it, so that, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me. There's no sweat off my back. I haven't spent a dime on your video games. But you can be the best video game player in the universe. You can make millions of dollars being a video gamer. It's happening in our world. People are getting rich playing video games. Somebody said, no way. Yeah, way, it's happening. If you are not rich toward Jesus, it will profit you nothing. The only thing that's going to profit you is what you do for God. Nothing else is going to matter. Nothing else. Well, the way you treat people ain't got nothing to do with anything other than obedience to God. If you're obedient to God in the way you treat people, it matters. But if you just think you are virtuous because I'm good to people, it profits you nothing. I'm just being real with you this morning. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says God likes this. So, I don't think he does. Well, you don't know him. He loves somebody that will tell the truth. And he despises people that lie. So much, he made this statement. He said, all liars have their place in the lake of fire. Not some of the liars, not most of the liars. All liars. So you wonder why I'm so brutally honest is because I am terrified of him. So you shouldn't be afraid of God. You are incorrect. Jesus said, fear him who is able to kill the body and cast the soul into hell. If hell does not frighten you, either you are an ultra saint. I mean, you are so prayed through that you have attained a level that I have not approached. Charles Spurgeon said, there are so many people that are so comfortable in their salvation. And he said, I sometimes wonder if I'm even saved. That's Charles Spurgeon. The prince of preachers. A man who stood before thousands professing and proclaiming the gospel. God, if you're not saved, God wants to save you today. He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to love him. And I promise you, though I'm terrified of him, I love him with every fiber of my being. I've never loved anyone the way I love the Lord. I love my wife. I've been with her over 40 years. I don't want to be with another woman. If God forbid something happens to her, I do not expect I'll ever be with another woman. It's just been that good. But I love the Lord more. He is more dear to me. I wake up every morning, almost every morning. Don't want to be a liar. Almost every morning, I wake up and I spend hours with him. He is so good. And he loves you. And he has done everything necessary to make a way for you to be in heaven with him forever. But you got to do it his way. Your way is not sufficient. I mean, if we would just be honest with ourselves, we have been wrong about so many things. So it behooves us to trust the one who's never been wrong about anything. Well, how do we know we can trust the Bible? Because God says things hundreds and even thousands of years before it happens. And you or I cannot predict the next 30 seconds. If I fall over dead in the next 30 seconds, when I get to heaven, I'll say, "Well, I didn't see that one coming, Lord." Because we don't know when we're going to die. None of us. But we all have an appointment with it. He's told us that we are all appointed. It is appointed for man once to die. And then the judgment. And we're going to start doing some things differently. At the end of every service, you'll have an opportunity to come over at this side of the stage. And Ryan will be here with some books for you that will tell you what it means to follow Jesus. It's a book called This New Life by Billy Joe Doherty. It's an amazing little book. If you have questions about your salvation, I encourage you at the end of the service, go over there, get one of those books, listen to what Ryan is saying. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We will get you a modern translation of the Scripture, and you start reading it. And I've been telling people, do not go to Leviticus. Do not go to Deuteronomy. Do not go to Numbers. Stay out of there for a while. Eventually you can take it, but right now you cannot take what it says there. You will be so messed up because it's an entirely different covenant for one reason. All the Old Testament does, it removes the mystery of Jesus. Jesus would be a mystery without the Old Testament. But because of the Old Testament, we can understand what God was doing by giving us His Son. Jesus fulfilled the Old Covenant, and He made a way for all of us to make heaven. And He made a way for all of us to enter heaven rewarded. Everything you do for Him on planet Earth, you're going to get to live with those rewards forever. But every Super Bowl you watch, every shopping spree you go on, it's just 100 years from now, it will be nothing. But not a second that you spend for God will be discounted. All of it will be rewarded. You can't beat it. And for people that don't want to hear this kind of stuff, it's just because you want to be in charge. You want to be in control. And there is no way for you to be in control. You can't draw your next breath without the Lord. And the Bible says that you're either for God or you're against God. You're either living in Jesus or the devil is living in you. Jesus, talking to religious people in His day, said, "You are of your father, the devil." What are you talking about? We're children of Abraham. No, you're not. He said, "If you were children of Abraham, you would love me." Everything hinges on Jesus. We live in a world where there's so many religions. And many of them will tell you, "We love Jesus." And it's so easy to get to the bottom of it. Just put your arm around them the next time they tell you that this is one of the ways to God. This is one of the ways to heaven. And you just put your arm around them and say, "Well, let's get on our knees and let's worship Jesus." And every false religion in the world says, No. Jesus is a good guy. But He's not God. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Any spirit that says Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, the Son of God manifested in the flesh, is the spirit of Antichrist. True statement. I don't know if y'all came here to hear the truth today or not. But that's all I got to say about what he says. Because what I say just doesn't. I don't have enough power to save a single hair of anyone's head. But you have before you a God that will save your being for all eternity. He's worth it. And we've heard it several times today. We've got to get to the place where we are more sold out to doing what God wants us to do than we are what we want to do. Because if we're doing what we want to do, we've wasted our entire life. Because all this is a test. I was talking yesterday at the men's meeting about Joseph. Joseph had some dreams and it ticked his family off and they sold him into slavery. His brothers lied and said that he was murdered. Wild animals tore him apart and convinced their dad that he was dead. He was sold into slavery, went into Egypt, was falsely accused by the slave owner's wife. He went to jail because of false accusations. And the whole thing was, before any of that happened, Joseph had some dreams that God was going to promote him to a huge place. And here we are in Barnsdall, America. I mean, this stuff, if it weren't God, it just wouldn't even be possible. And God has said all these amazing things about this place. I can think of five different voices that prophesied 2024 is going to be a year of increase. That was the only word that God gave me. It's going to be a year of increase. And then Mike and I had not talked. And after I released that word, he said, that's what the Lord's been saying to me. Increase of the presence of God. Increase of the gifts of God. Increase of the miraculous. That's, if I'm not mistaken, that's what the Lord told Mike. And then God gave Piper a word that there was going to be a whirlwind from heaven that brought down the miraculous physical healings, financial blessings, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then I watched a prophetic word by Rick Lineweaver, and he said that 2024 was going to be a year of growth and increase and greater favor. And then we get a phone call from somebody we haven't talked to in probably 20 years, close to it anyway. I mean, maybe we've run into them once, but we just didn't really spend any time talking to them in close to 20 years. They call us. They say, we had a dream about the church. The Lord says the atmosphere is pregnant. And God is about to do some new things in this new season. And I'm telling you, it was a tremendous word. I don't have it all. I probably do somewhere, but I don't have it handy. Just a tremendous word. I pray it almost every day. I pray all of those prophetic words almost every day because I believe God's going to do what He says. Amen. I've staked everything on it. If I die and I don't see any of it, when I get to heaven, I am not going to be mad at God. Say, why didn't you do what you said you were going to do? Because He didn't say He's going to do it in my lifetime. He said to Abraham, He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless the whole world. Your descendants will outnumber the sand of the seashore. Look at the stars of the sky. Everywhere you put your feet, I give you the land for a possession. Abraham didn't see all of that in his lifetime, but God is faithful to perform what He's promised. And it didn't look like God was moving in Joseph's life. It looked like everything was falling apart. But it's like Stephen said yesterday, it's more about the journey than it is the destination. Because God is working on us in the journey. He is changing our character in the journey. He took Moses to the backside of the desert and spent 40 years getting Egypt out of him so He could use him. See, sometimes we go through some stuff because we got stuff in us that needs to come out of us. I'm going to say it. I can see it in some of y'all's eyes. Some of you are packing critters. Got that old mean look toward me. You think I don't know who's looking at me? I've seen those eyes before. But God was preparing Joseph in the dungeon. God began preparing Joseph in the pit. And the things that you're going through right now, that God give us 5 prophetic words, good words for 2024. And we've had people in the hospital, people that the doctor's saying they're going to die. We've had people that are having the hardest time recovering, people getting sick. I mean, it's just been insane the things that have been going on. And in our eyes, we're going, Lord, this doesn't seem to match up with the promise. It's just part of the process. That's all it is. It's just part of the process. God is refining us. He's getting some Egypt out of us. He's getting some of the mess out of our lives so it can become a message. He's put us in a test so it will become a testimony. And we'll be able to stand up and tell anybody that'll listen, my God is faithful. I can't even begin to tell you what all God brought me through. But let me tell you where I'm at now. And some of you, you're already in the testimony. Some of you, your really hard spell was even years back. And you are in such an amazing place right now. People have asked you, how did you turn it around? Well, I didn't. But I know a guy. It's just like me. Somebody said, well, you're in charge around here. And I'm like, no, I'm not in charge. But I know the guy who is. I get the privilege of just walking around and acting like I do. And I'm not even embarrassed by it. And somebody said, well, you should be. And I get it. You know, the Bible says preaching is foolishness. So if I'm not looking foolish to somebody, I ain't preaching. You can teach without looking like a fool, but you can't preach without looking like a fool. But it don't bother me. Because he's going to work it out. David was just a little shepherd boy that his daddy didn't think enough of him to even have him come when the prophet came and said, God is going to anoint one of your sons a king. He didn't even think enough of David to have him come to the feast. But the one that daddy wrote off was the one that daddy anointed. See, that's why I don't worry so much about what people think. Because people don't have the last word. And you should stop worrying about what people think because they don't have the last word. There was a woman at a well and Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. The only reason he went there was for that woman. Go get your husband, he said. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, well, at least you told me the truth. Because you just haven't had one. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with right now is not even one of them. Well, he was mean to her, wasn't he? Get away from me, you foul woman. Get away, you nasty thing. Not what the Bible says, is it? He said he sent her back and she drew a crowd by telling people what the Lord had said and done. She went and told them there must be a prophet at the well. He told me everything I've ever done. And there were countless people that was won by her testimony that I'm sure all of culture had written her off as a nobody that was never going to amount to anything. But in the hands of Jesus, she did great things. Come on, Pharaoh. I need somebody smart. Go to the dungeon and see what's available. I know we can find somebody that's well-educated, well-mannered, and somebody I can use. See, that's where some of you are at. You feel like God doesn't know where you're at. You feel like that God has lost you. And if you think Barnsdall isn't part of that equation, you're wrong. Because nobody even knows where Barnsdall is. But God can take that church, expose it to the world, and start dragging people in from all over the planet. Because he says, I'm going to do something there. They told me God will never move in Barnsdall. It's a burned over field. Nothing will ever happen there. And God told Jesus, hold my Dr. Pepper. I'm getting ready to do something in Barnsdall. Maybe it was water. You heard about the preacher, didn't you? He gets pulled over in the city. And the policeman, he knows him. I mean, it's not that big a place, and he knows him. He says, Pastor John. He said, are you drinking? No, I'm not drinking. He said, well, I can smell alcohol. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, let me see your glass. He got it and he smelled it. He said, Pastor, this is wine. He said, Jesus done it again. The women have been praying and fasting for the men. They've been praying and fasting that God would turn them into the wives that we need so we can be the men that God wants us to be. And the Lord is trying to convince us that just because the process has been a little tough, just because the journey hasn't maybe made any sense, that doesn't in any way minimize what he's doing in all of us. And he's been trying to convince us that we need to join with him as co-laborers and work for his kingdom. Whatever he's given to us, he expects us to turn it into something more. Sometimes when we're praying more, the Lord says, go ahead and make it more. We have permission. I'm not calling you to a fast, but I'm asking you to ask God what He would have you to do to be an answer to the women's prayers, to the women's fastings. Randy shared with us yesterday the power of a 3-day fast. I'm not calling you to a 3-day fast, but I'm asking you to ask God what He wants you to do. Now, whatever God calls you to do, just do that. And leave the results up to Him. He's faithful. He did everything that He told Joseph He was going to do. And He kind of hemmed Himself in a little bit with us this year because He said 2024 was going to be a year of increase. It's going to be a year of increased healings, the increase of the miraculous, the increase of spiritual gifts, the increase of favor. So 2024, we have some things that we can expect to see. God said He's going to do it in 2024. Now, just because it started off slow, that just doesn't mean a whole lot. God can do a lot in a few days. I'm telling you, He can turn it around. And so this morning, as we stand to our feet, I'm just asking you to ask God, what do you want me to do? In the next several weeks, we're gonna have a prayer room where people that need to spend some more time with God, we're going to have people that go back after praise and worship, and they'll be praying the rest of the service over that room. There'll be worship playing there. And if you need a miracle in your body, we prayed for you out here maybe, and nothing really happened that you can tell. Or maybe you just want to saturate a little more in His presence. Maybe you just want to have some more prayer, and you go back to that room, and you just stay for however long you want to. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to have people come up every service. If you need to understand, as Ryan comes, if you need to understand more about this new life that you have in Jesus, we want to help you. If you need a Bible, tell Ryan. We will get you a Bible. We'll find literature that is helpful to you. Just right up here, Ryan. If you have been saved in the last 6 months, or you have questions that you would just like some direction in, you just want to understand a little bit more what it means to be saved, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be forgiven. If that's you, just come on up. You're not going to bother anybody. He's going to share with you, talk to you, pray with you. Nobody here has been saved in 6 months. Come on, be a leader. Get these people moving. Okay, you got saved in the last 10 years and you have questions. Just go right over to Ryan, right over there. We got a leader. Come on. You got questions. Come on. If you don't have a This New Life book and you have been saved less than 5 years, come and get this book. We have people in the house that still read this book that have been saved longer than me. That's how good this book is. Pastor Billy Joe Doherty is in heaven, but he is a great man of God. That he had a guy hit him in the head with his fist during a service, and he didn't kill him. I'm just letting you know I'm not that good a man. So what are you going to do? Hit me? No, I'm going to shoot you. I ain't there yet. We're going to have a room for deliverance. We're getting everything in order. Next Sunday, we're going to have an altar ministry meeting, if you want to pray for people in the altars at the end of services, like when evangelists are here, or say, I give an invitation for people for prayer, and you want to be a part of that team, then you need to be at the altar ministry meeting. And if you've never filled out an application for altar ministry, we need you to fill one out. If you have filled it out, you don't need to fill another one out. But we're going to be giving out badges, because when we have evangelists come, there's going to be all kinds of people here that we don't know, and we just want our prayer team praying for people. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you'd move on your people. I pray that you'd seal this word in our hearts. I pray, God, that we would begin to renounce every hidden thing of darkness that would cloud our minds, infiltrate our hearts. I pray, God, that we would renounce every demonic spirit that would try to deceive us, try to discourage us, try to depress us, try to make us feel less than who you say we are. I pray, God, that we could begin to know who Jesus is on the inside of us, Lord. I pray that we could know that you are a great and a mighty God, and we can trust you even when it hurts, God. We can trust you even when we don't understand, God. We can trust you, God, when it seems like we are lost in the wilderness. You are faithful, God, and you will see us through. You made every one of us a promise. You said you will cause everything to work out for good to those that love you, the called according to your purpose. And so I'm trusting you, God. Good is going to work out. In Jesus' name. Bless your people, God. I thank you for all of those that have worked so hard to prepare this meal, God. I pray bless them. Bless the food, God. We know it's going to be good. It always is. Bless this time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's grub right through that door.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.